Go ahead and start. So welcome, everybody. Thank you for getting up bright and early here in New Orleans. That's not easy to get up bright and early and come. And so my name's Kent Brown, and the session today is Microsoft Integration, Vision, and Roadmap. And so you can tell by the title, this is sort of, think of it as a keynote for the integration track. And so we've got a lot of sessions throughout the week on integration. So this isn't so much going to be a deep dive on a particular technology. It's going to be sort of raising up a level, looking at integration and looking at the different products that we have, positioning them, looking at the future of where we see this going. So hopefully that'll be useful to you. So what is integration? I don't know if anybody, if you had mics, I'd let you volunteer and raise your hand and say what integration is. We hear about things like message-oriented middleware and SOA and ESB. When I was, this is about 10 years ago, I was a new BizTalk developer. I was all excited about BizTalk in this space. And I went to talk to a bunch of customers. Actually, I wasn't with Microsoft. And Microsoft invited me to come and talk to customers and present them on what BizTalk was. And so I started talking, explaining EAI and EDI and B2B. And the Microsoft guy that had invited me just said, hold on a second. And I think he could tell I was confusing them with all the industry buzzwords. And the customers were sitting there like, what the heck is this guy talking about? So he just wrote up on the board, HST. I said, what's that? Hooking stuff together. And he didn't say stuff. And he's like, just, you know, cut the nonsense. What we're trying to do with integration is we are trying to hook stuff together, right? We've got systems that maybe we want to build them so they can be hooked together, or maybe some guy built them 5 years ago and we didn't have control of that and we need to somehow reach in and make them hook together. But we want our processes to flow. We want our data to be connected. We want not to have isolated systems. One thing when we say hooking stuff together, there's a lot of stuff, and so I just wanted to set the scope. We're not going to, in this session, and actually the team that's driving this session, we sort of own an area that we call integration. It's really the application integration, if you will. So we're not talking about data integration. We're not talking about ETL and what they call master data management. That's another type of integration, very important. We're really talking about that sort of, again, middle tier, message-oriented middleware, all those kind of buzzwords in the middle where it's transactional. You're controlling systems in live time and trying to make sure they update each other and can talk to each other. Does that make sense? So Microsoft as a company has actually a broad range of integration choices. It's been an important thing for us for a long time, and we've invested a lot. And so we have a wide range of choices. And I guess the goal of this session for me is, A, to sort of look at the breadth of those, take them in, give a little positioning, when to use which one, sort of take credit for what we've done in the last year because there's been a lot of momentum. So sort of highlight some of the things that have just come out, and then especially say, where do we see this going, and you know, what are the themes and the directions? And we'd love your feedback at the end, more personal, or you can have questions and say, okay, I see where you're going, but I really wanted you to go here because that's what I need. And so that would be great feedback towards the end from you guys. So in terms of choices, we do have a lot of choices. At the sort of low end, the granular level, you just need to be able to write applications that can talk to each other, right? And so you need these framework components. And so the way that components or services we talk about talk to each other in a very interoperable way, there's two main ones. SOAP, which got a lot of popularity about 10 years ago and is still used, and that was a mechanism for transferring messages back and forth and being able to turn those into method calls or, you know, remote procedure calls. The other one that's caught on really big in the last few years is REST. REST doesn't have some of the rigor of controlling the payload and some of the, let's say, transactional and security, but REST has the advantage there is the simplicity. Just like the web kind of works for everybody because HTTP is simple, REST sort of says, well, we can do that on a programming level, talking between services and applications, and that gives a broad range. So somebody doesn't have to have a SOAP stack to talk to me. They just need to send HTTP, and I can get it and understand it. So they both have their value. We have strong frameworks in both. So WCF is our SOAP stack, and it has full support for the WS star protocols, all the security and transactional and reliable messaging and all that, as well as we have a web API. Who here has used web API and knows what I'm talking about? Cool. So that's pretty popular, right? So that's a pretty easy way to expose your services, call them from a phone, from a client, from JSON, you know, using JSON and AJAX. So that's sort of a fundamental building block. Another one is workflow. So in our foundation, we built the ability to say, tie together, coordinate across multiple services. And so we have the Windows workflow. How many Windows workflow programmers? Cool. And so, you know, one of the things we'll do is position it, since workflow came around, some people have had questions. How does that relate to BizTalk orchestration? And so as far as guidance, that's part of what I want to do here. I would say workflow is really when you're going to build custom into your application workflow. Either you're hosting it, or especially the real scenario in most cases is an ISV. So you're building a solution you're offering to your customers, and you need them to be able to have workflow built in and even to modify that workflow. So our foundation makes that easy. Workflow Foundation makes that very easy to accommodate. We've got sort of musical lights here. Hopefully. So the next one is Service Bus. So Service Bus, in the past we had MSMQ. Service Bus is sort of our new modern MSMQ, if you will. So the ability to send messages back and forth, to connect through the firewall. So we have the relay, we have queuing and a pub-sub engine within Service Bus. Very powerful messaging infrastructure. And we started first in Windows Azure. That was as a platform as a service. You can go just sign up on the portal and create and provision without anything on premises. We've also recently brought that on premises, so it runs on Windows Server, primarily initially to support SharePoint. SharePoint server uses workflow and Service Bus. And so you're going to use that for loosely connecting systems, and especially when it's sort of maybe between the components of your application. So you're not necessarily... We'll get in a second to that big enterprise where I've got lots of applications and I want to tie them together and coordinate. This is going to be very effective. When you're writing code, you're willing to build your own, and you're essentially connecting two or three components in your application or even point-to-point, two applications together. And I'm not saying it can't be used for some of the higher end, but it takes work. And so the next sort of levels is BizTalk Server, and that's where we get into all those buzzwords of ESB and B2B and all those buzzwords. And so there are all these industry patterns for doing integration. And so you can either take the first three and build your own, which takes a lot of work. But if you're building, if you're an ISV vendor, that may be worth your time because then you you have full flexibility and you make that investment and it lasts. For most enterprise customers that need this level of integration, they need to be able to monitor, they need to have business rules and orchestration and all these patterns. You really want that built. Someone else has built that out of the box as a framework, and you come and tie it together and focus more on the business value, less on building plumbing and technology. So that's BizTalk Server. That's been around. We just released, and we'll talk about that. There's a session later. Again, kind of what I'm doing here is going through the breadth of what we have and kind of positioning each. And then finally, we just released. How many had heard that? I can't even see you guys. It's like a movie theater. We just released BizTalk Services. We just announced it yesterday. The team's been working for a couple of years. It used to be called EAI, EDI Labs. So that just launched yesterday. We're really excited. It's in public preview. We hope you'll use it. It's not going to stay in preview long. Like we don't have a date yet, but soon as customers are on it, and it's in the near future, it's going to go GA. So we hope you'll start adopting that. And we'll talk more. We had a session yesterday, but we'll talk a little bit later in the session, a little more detail what's in there. But it's a really powerful platform as a service. So if you look at this breadth, we have a lot. Microsoft is very strong in integration. We have a lot of options. What can become confusing is which one do I use when? And so hopefully that positioning helps, as well as I hope when Sriram will get up in a second and he'll start talking about where we're taking this. I think that'll also help say how do these come together even more in the future. So finally, before I hand it off, I just wanted to hit on what I believe the top-level theme or sort of the North Star is in what we're doing in integration. Obviously, on-premise integration is still very important, but what's new right now is everybody's figuring out the cloud. When do I adopt? Do I adopt? And one of the things we realized is with big enterprise, I think most of you come from fairly large, what you call enterprise developers in here. You start talking about the cloud and moving your applications to the cloud, and that kind of sounds weird and scary. Like you've put all this work into building infrastructure and security and best practices, and to say, well, I'm going to let somebody else run that. You're trying to figure that out, and that's going to take time for us to prove and for you to prove by test and trial and error, yes, I can trust this. In the meantime, hybrid solutions are very are what's really going to be. You're going to look and pick and choose where can I take advantage of the cloud, but a lot of your systems are still going to be on premises. And so being able to hook those together is going to enable you to do that hybrid. I'm sure you've heard that theme here quite a bit from a programming point of view. That's not me making that noise. So bringing, rather than saying move your apps to the cloud, bringing the cloud to you, thinking of the cloud as an extension of your data center and what fits really well in the cloud, what is going to stay on-prem for the time being, and how can I connect those seamlessly? So how can I take advantage of, let's say, the scale, the easy to build websites or the mobile services, makes it easier to build the backends for a mobile. How can I connect that into my SAP system, that sort of thing? And so building these hybrid solutions that modernize, extend the reach, take advantage of the scale of the cloud, but still tightly integrate with your backend systems. That's kind of the North Star, really where we're focused in the next couple of years. As you probably gathered from Microsoft, that's where we're focused across the board on all of our server products. So what have we shipped? I guess just looking at this year has actually been a big year for integration. The team's been busy. First, Service Bus is that sort of foundation layer. They've released Service Bus, the SDK 2.1. They just released support for AMQP, and I don't know if you guys know, everybody knows about this, but it's actually a very powerful protocol. A set of companies that were using largely MQ series, and felt like we need another option here. They developed an open source standard called Advanced Message Queue Protocol, and it defines how messages are transferred over the wire, and it does it in a way that's open source, so you can have multiple implementations. So there's several open source implementations. I believe Microsoft's one of the strongest commercial implementations, but Microsoft got involved in that and very actively at Apache, and now we have official support, and this has gone GA for Service Bus in Service Bus for AMQP. One of the, just an example of what that allows you to do, if someone has a Java application that uses JMS, there's actually a provider, basically an adapter or provider that you can hook in without changing your JMS system. I've written my system to talk to the JMS interface. I can switch in an AMQP provider, and all of a sudden, without changing that code, I could use Service Bus as the back end, as the messaging layer. I could replace whatever messaging layer was there and use Service Bus. That's just an example. Or I could talk from that JMS application very easily through Service Bus into BizTalk and do my integration through that. So it's a very powerful extension. As far as the server for hosting and managing workflow, we came out with Workflow Manager 1.0. Again, that was for SharePoint, and so that the same workflow engine that runs in the cloud for SharePoint Online also runs on the server for SharePoint, sort of classic SharePoint. And so that wraps around the workflow framework and provides the hosting and all those, kind of a server, a host for workflow. We've continued to innovate on BizTalk Server. We just released 2013, so that's a major release. It extends the support. It really indicates our commitment to BizTalk Server 2013. We'll get into the details, but a big part of the theme of that was connecting that for hybrid applications, being able to talk to the Service Bus and expose REST endpoints and make sure that BizTalk Server is, if you're using that coordinating on-premises applications, that is, in a sense, your pipe or your hook into Service Bus and into the cloud. So using the cloud for existing BizTalk applications, so infrastructure as a service, or we call it infrastructure services, Windows Azure Infrastructure Services, that went GA, and so BizTalk is one of the servers that's supported up there. So BizTalk Server 2013 can run in an Azure VM. It allows you to, for dev and test scenarios, is a very obvious one where you can spin up and test and then spin it down and just pay for it when it's up. And I'm sure you heard all the announcements yesterday about MSDN licenses that really, is going to make that compelling from a financial point of view. And the other is burst scenarios. So let's say I just need two or three BizTalk servers most of the time, but once a quarter I need 10. And so instead of building out and licensing all 10 of those, the ability to burst those into an Azure VM, run that load, and then scale it down. There's actually a session later on that. I think that's tomorrow. I think we've got a slide, but we've got a session on specifically running BizTalk Server in Azure IaaS. And then finally, we talked about the BizTalk services. We just announced that yesterday. Actually, if you're not doing anything tonight, find one of us after. There's a little celebration, so come ask us, and I think there's still room there. But we're, again, very excited. Platform as a service obviously means you don't have to manage. We manage it for you, and you really just focus on, you go to Visual Studio, you build it, you sort of link up to it, you press deploy, and it's up there. You go to a web portal, configure it, and it's running. And you need to scale it, you just go to the web portal and scale it. You don't build out servers or patch them or any of that. So we've done a lot this year, really. There's a lot to sort of figure out. You got to, you know, if you're doing BizTalk now, figure out, you know, how do I upgrade? What are the advantages of BizTalk 2013? What is the migration path? And figuring that out, we've got a lot of advancement in all these options. So I guess the next step, what we wanted to do is bring up Sriram. Sriram is the dev manager on the BizTalk server team. But really, at this point, that team is not just doing BizTalk server. They also did BizTalk services. And they're driving really the integration workload, if you will. They're driving the strategy for Service Bus and workflow and BizTalk and how these go together. So excited to turn this over to Sriram.
Thanks, Kent. Can you hear me okay? Good. It's great to be here. I'll start off with, we have a lot to talk about today, so I'll quickly talk about what the key takeaways are for the talk today. High level, I think we've released a lot of things over the last year. We talked about Service Bus, Workflow, BizTalk on-premise, BizTalk in Azure VM, and BizTalk, you know, as a PaaS service. So how do you all put it all together, and what do I take away from this, right? There are five key takeaways. One is we're building a powerful integration stack. Goes all the way from frameworks to a managed service in the cloud, right? And this variety of options here. And depending on your scenario, you could choose to use Workflow, Service Bus, BizTalk Server, take a BizTalk Server solution, run it in the cloud in an Azure VM, or use BizTalk as a service in PaaS. And you can actually mix and match as well. We'll actually show a couple of demos where it all comes together. And you can say that's the first important thing. We are, you know, it's a powerful integration stack from Microsoft. Second one is, why all of these options? Can you just give me one? Right? And the key thing there is, as we look at the set of customer solutions, there isn't a single solution, platform solution that fits all the needs. Right? And we also don't, and from a Microsoft perspective, we do not want to dictate this is how your solution should be architected, which is everything should be in the cloud, and you should move your line of business systems to the cloud. There are compliance reasons you wouldn't do it. There are privacy, security reasons that you cannot move your currently existing line of business systems to the cloud. You may want to move it over years, so you want to have a choice of being able to run your new services in the cloud and connect them to the on-premise solutions. So as we see our customers evolve their solutions, there is no sort of a single optimal right way of doing this, right? So which is why it's important from Microsoft perspective to give you the options of different technologies that you can put together. And we'll show some of those patterns in terms of how they can be put together, right? And that's a key value proposition in terms of for customers to be able to say, I actually can define and design the solution that's best for my needs, and then I choose the right technology options. And there's an entire set of modern the integration solutions that are going to evolve with the advent of the cloud and open protocols. And that's what sort of BizTalk is, BizTalk services in the cloud, Windows Azure BizTalk services is primarily targeting. And this is the first version. We're going to invest deeply and innovate in this space. And more importantly, Microsoft is committed and deeply committed and innovating in integration. So a couple things I want to talk about here is in the server space, what is this? You listed a bunch of things about cloud and how we can use the cloud, and it's definitely a place where a lot of our customers are, you know, interested in moving part of their applications. We also have a lot of customers who actually say, I'm going to continue to run on-premise, and certain parts of my applications will never move to the cloud. What are you going to do for me, right? So we said this last year, we continue to say it. We will continue to innovate on-premise, and you have seen the BizTalk Server 2013, which is a full release, which had a lot of features that customers were asking for, right? And we will continue to do this on a regular cadence. It's a commitment that we will, you know, keep investing in the server and continue to take it forward. Every 2 years, we'll have roughly 2 years, we'll have a release. And then we will also try to put this all together with innovation in the cloud and how you actually build hybrid apps. So, and what does this mean for partners, right? There's a significant opportunity, just like before, to build solutions that bring these together. Because in order to meet customer needs, Microsoft is not going to be able to build the end-to-end solution, right? So you would be, there's a significant space for partners and probably even large enterprises which are with an IT org to be able to put these things together to form build a solution. Of course, we make it very easy to build it easily and in a customizable fashion. So as we look at scenarios, I mean, there's lots of integration scenarios. As we see where the thrust of the new integration scenarios comes in, right? Where are the key places where we see integration evolving? First and foremost, with the increasing use of cloud in enterprises, we see a need for connecting to external entities, right? There's a set of line of business systems runs on-premise, but you need to do B2C. You need to connect to or interact with the external entities to be able to bring data in. And that means you need to be able to build hybrid applications. And we'll show how you can actually use a BizTalk server to connect to external entities, right? Second, we want to be able to do business-to-business transactions and using the cloud, because point-to-point transactions in B2B meant we had to run most of these on-premise in either one or probably both of the businesses. With cloud, you can actually have a third-party hosted cloud service that manages these partnerships, right? It's a new opportunity which actually helps with respect to scale, because you have the network effect of being able to bridge these different company interactions and be able to reuse the same pattern. So if there is one retailer that's working with a large number of suppliers, you can actually, if you have this pattern in the cloud, you would be able to reuse that pattern for the next supplier coming in. And last but not least, there is a large number of SaaS applications, right, that are being used. And some of them are social, and many of them are productivity applications. All of these are being increasingly used in the cloud, right? You could think of Office 365 to Facebook to Salesforce and Dynamics CRM. There are lots of applications in the cloud. You want to build, you want to use those applications as well as bring the data and interaction patterns from those applications as part of your solution, right? So these are the sort of three key areas that we see customers going to in the short to medium future, right? And how do we address this? We actually have a set of solutions for these right now, and we're going to be continuing to innovate in this space. Now I'll talk quickly through each of the areas that Kent listed out and what we have done over the last year, right? And then we'll have a few demos in terms of how they're put together, and we'll conclude with where we're going forward. So number one, Service Bus. In the last year, we released the Service Bus server, which is the first version on Windows Server. It supports persistent durable queues and topics. And topics are nothing but a pub-sub, scalable pub-sub infrastructure. So what this helps is, both in Azure as well as on-premise, you would be able to send messages durably, like point-to-point, as well as in a pub-sub fashion. You can publish it, and subscribers, based on their filters, can get the messages. The scalable part of a service, a Service Bus service, we've also released a notification hub where you can register for notification, and it actually scales at internet scale. So you can have a large number of devices registered to receive notifications. And there's the client-side part of Service Bus, where we actually release an Azure SDK, where there's support for AMQP, support for shared access authentication, and and AMQP. So essentially, what we are doing is, in this space of service bus, we are making it very easy for people to build point-to-point and pub-sub messaging applications in an internet scale, right? And this is a very core foundation technology that we are providing both on-premise as well as in the cloud. Next, we shipped workflow. Now, workflow has always been available as part of the .NET framework. And there are several customers who've used this to build their own services and hosted the workflow in their process. What we did this year was build a workflow manager server, which shipped in October, where you can actually use that server to build a simple workflow and host it in a multi-tenant fashion on a server. Underneath it uses service bus, and this is one that's being used by SharePoint to connect their SharePoint workflows, which are approval processes, for example, in document approval, that SharePoint uses for both on-premise as well as in Azure. And then we also shipped, and as we walk through, all of these are investments on-premise, and in some cases, server. BizTalk Server 2013 is a fairly large set of features that we've added in just response to what customers have been asking as big key adoption blockers or big features that they would like, right? And there are five huge areas in which we've invested. One, customers want support for the latest platforms, be it operating systems, new Office, System Center, or database. And they also want support from the product for the latest standards in EDI or the latest target systems in the line of business systems. So what we did was to add all of these as core part of the BizTalk Server 2013 product. Second, there were lots of areas where we could have simplified the experience a lot more. So we went ahead and did that in terms of easy connection to SharePoint. To be able to connect to a SharePoint online or SharePoint server without custom client code that I need to install on the BizTalk server machine. We improved performance in several areas, primarily areas like ordered messaging, by about five times what it was. And this helps in many cases, but also in specific verticals such as healthcare, where you have ordered messaging, which is very popular. We improve performance of dynamic send ports, which is a key feature that several customers use in BizTalk, and specifically this helps in the ESB scenarios. And last, we also made sure that we are evolving the product, this on-premise product, to connect to the cloud as well as run in the cloud. And the two aspects of it is, first, to be able to say, I have new SaaS applications that I'm using in the cloud, and I want to be able to connect from BizTalk because I don't want to move my business processing off-premise or into the cloud. So I still need to be able to connect to that and get data from there, or have data triggered from there that gets to your business process. And in some cases, specifically developing and testing of applications, I might want to say, I don't want to provision a machine or configure a BizTalk server, which takes a certain amount of time, for a simple application where I want to do a POC. Which means if I were just able to take my current application and run it in the cloud, or be able to provision something in the cloud that I can just use for a quick, agile way of developing a BizTalk solution, that would be great. So what we did was we enabled BizTalk Server 2013 to be used directly in Azure VM as what we call Infrastructure as a Service, or IaaS. And what this helps enable is for customers to do a dev and test scenario of a BizTalk solution in set it up in minutes. Previously, it used to take, if you took the provisioning of the machines and acquiring of machines, it would take weeks in some cases. So we just cut it down to minutes, and I'll show a demo of that. So that's sort of, and there's details on, you know, what each of these areas are. So deep set of investments in BizTalk Server 2013. So this shows our commitment to taking the on-premise server product forward as we evolve to the cloud as well. So now I'll show you, Rajesh here will show you a short demo of how you can connect a Salesforce application running in the cloud to a BizTalk server that you actually have on-premise with business processes running on BizTalk server. This is one of the ways we actually, a couple of highlights here is one, this shows how you can use BizTalk Server 2013 to connect to external entities beyond your firewall and get data into your business process. Second, it also shows how we are stitching together this various pieces of our stack to make it better together and easier for customers to program. In this case, BizTalk Server and Azure Service Bus, the relay, works together, and it's easy to put together a solution that bridges some external SaaS provider like Salesforce with just purely config, no code. And that's the key part. We're also making it much easier for customers to consume these. Okay.
All right.
I'll ask Rajesh to take over.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Priya. So now we are going to have a quick look at a SaaS application to LOB integration. So the context for this demo is that we have an enterprise organization, Contoso. We have all their LOB applications and ERP systems on-premise. Now, they have a huge sales and marketing team who go out and follow up on leads and opportunities. And for this purpose, they're going to use a SaaS CRM application. And the way it works is they follow up on great leads, great opportunities, and follow up on it. Usually when it happens, there is a life cycle on its own. Now, what they need to do is whenever an opportunity is closed, whenever you close on a big deal, you need to make sure that that data gets reflected in the on-premise system so that you can take meaningful actions out of it. Now, you don't want to do it for every single action which happens in Salesforce. You need to make sure that you define criteria that when an opportunity is closed, you need to get that data. And with out-of-the-box functionalities which we provide in BizTalk Server 2013, and most notably the service bus integration features, we'd be able to do just with a matter of configuration, the data connection between the cloud solution, in this case Salesforce, to the on-premise ERP system. In this case, for the demo, it is going to be a SQL Server. With this set of the context, I'm going to quickly switch over to the demo machine. All right. So this is my Salesforce portal from a developer perspective where you have all the information like the leads, opportunities, et cetera. In this case, what I'm going to do is I have an opportunity where they're following up on a few products. And the current stage is it's in a value proposition stage. Now, when we close on this opportunity, we need to make sure that it is reflected in the on-premise SQL system. And here we have a SQL table which currently has three records showing the products which have been approved. So let me go back to Salesforce. And what I'm going to do is edit this opportunity so that we are closing on this opportunity and the deal is closed. And when we do this, a couple of things happens. Salesforce has the mechanism, like similar to many SaaS applications where they enable outbound communication, wherein based on specific triggers, you can send data out. We have enabled that flow. And now, based on the connection, you'll now be able to see that the closed opportunity is now reflected in the on-premise LOB system. And the way it works behind the scenes, and again, I want to emphasize on what Sriram said earlier, is that we do this entire thing of connecting from cloud services to on-premise using the new service bus connectivity features in BizTalk Server 2013. And all you have to do to enable the connection from a BizTalk perspective is to create a receive location, host a service bus relay, and set the configuration, and that's about it. And similarly, you have a bunch of configuration in Salesforce, but literally there is no code involved in this whole feature. So hopefully this gives a really quick overview in terms of some of the new cloud connectivity features which we have introduced in BizTalk Server 2013. Thank you. I'll just switch it over to Sriram.
Thanks, Rajesh. Thanks, Rajesh. So what this shows is you can take an existing business process that's built in BizTalk, an integration scenario, and you can have an external SaaS provider like Salesforce or Dynamics and be able to hook that up using BizTalk and Azure Service Bus to your on-premise solution. And this is done with no code. Of course, there is customization you could build, and you could actually write code, and we'll show some of how you can do some of that in the later demos. But there's one of the key aspects is to be able to find that large set of simple scenarios where you can actually do things config-only, just configuration-driven integration solutions. Right? This is one great example of that. So second, I think the other part that I talked about is where you actually can take an existing BizTalk solution or a new solution that you want to build for BizTalk server that you don't want to go through the process of provisioning and procuring machines or configuring BizTalk. Because usually the big problem with BizTalk, one of the key problems with BizTalk is it's by nature a distributed system, which means you need to get multiple machines, you need to procure them, you need to configure them the right way, you're going to wire them up, and you have to set the right access control and security rights. This takes some time, right? So for a simple, people have to spend that time to be able to go production, but for a simple dev test scenario where you want to try out some ideas, it takes an inordinate amount of time to get started, right? And what we, by making BizTalk Server 2013 run on Azure VM, with a set of pre-built, configured topologies available from the gallery, you're able to get started really, really soon, right? The key areas here, as I talked about, it eliminates hardware procurement time, which could be, in some companies, it could be up to 90 days. It takes all the pain and effort and time of setting up and configuring a distributed system. And you can actually scale up or down very quickly. So one of the things with the cloud, with the per minute pricing that we announced yesterday, what it also helps you to do is to be able to spin up something, use it, and when you're done, just bring it back up. So you're not paying, you just pay for what you use. So there is no large CapEx and expenditure for getting started on a small project, right? And last but not least, to be able to build these things in the cloud, develop and test it, and to be able to move it back on-premise because it's essentially the same solution, right? So, and then you can actually do staging and production on-premise as needed. So, this is actually a very popular way that many customers are trying to build applications now. So I'll show a quick demo of how this works, just the provisioning aspects. 8 is here. Let me walk you through this. So I think this is the Azure portal. So it's manage.windows.azure.com. And in the portal, we are already signed in. So you can actually go and say, I want a virtual machine. And among the virtual machines, I can just say, hey, I want to create a new virtual machine. And you can pick either you can create one yourself, quick create, or you can say, I want to pick one from the gallery that's already built. In this case, I picked that up. And as you go through, there's a set of BizTalk Server images. And you say, hey, I want a BizTalk Server Enterprise Edition. And we announced yesterday, for people with MSDN, this is actually a very, very compelling low-cost option to get started on development test. And the price is roughly 6 cents an hour, it's also pay-per-use. So it's the easiest, fastest way to get on BizTalk and get on the cloud both at the same time. You go, you just say, hey, I want a machine where, let me just call it TechEd. And in this case, I'll pick two mediums. And this is the admin password with which I can connect to this, VPN to it. Okay. And I can actually expose this outside with a DNS name. In this case, I'm just going to call BTS TechEd. And here, you can actually choose it to be a new standalone VM that you installed, you provisioned for BizTalk server. Or you can actually say, I already have a set of machines that I've created, right? And I could actually say, connect to an existing virtual machine. And I could pick from one of those that I've already created. What this means is it actually I can manage those together, right? And it goes through one load balancer, and I can actually help in terms of creating availability sets there, so I can make sure that the set of machines there are in different upgrade domains, which means I can actually provide higher availability. In this case, for the sake of this demo, I'm just going to go through the standalone virtual machine. And I can pick one of the generated accounts. And it, since I picked the storage account that I already have, it chose the right region for me to install. Now, if I choose not to do that, then I could pick any of the regions that I want to go install in. Then, as I said, you can actually pick or create an availability set, which actually helps you build reliability in the set of machines, amongst the set of machines that you created. And that's all. After I'm done, I just have to say provision. And I'm done. And it takes about 20 minutes or so. 7 minutes? Okay. It takes about 7 minutes to provision the whole service, and probably we'll show it towards the end of the talk today that it's already provisioned. That's it. Right? So within 10 minutes, including the time I took to actually show you the demo, you're able to actually get a BizTalk installation configured, installed, provisioned, machines provisioned, the server installed and configured, and you're just ready to go code. Right? And with simple demos like the ones that we showed you in terms of how to integrate sales external SaaS entities, you can actually get something going without any code. Right? And this is something that, you know, is very powerful for dev and test scenarios. Right? So that's a... let me switch back to the... Okay. So that's sort of what we are doing in the BizTalk. Having BizTalk run in Azure VM. So we've sort of shown so far all the different flavors in terms of what you can do with server, the frameworks, server, or server hosted in an Azure VM. But there is still a missing gap. And that's the part that Azure BizTalk services, which is the PaaS solution, is going to fill. And what are the missing pieces, right? And if we do all of this, you still have customers telling us, I want to focus more and more on the service that I am trying to build, which is the business problem that I am trying to solve. I don't want to spend my time on managing machines. I don't want to spend my time on tweaking configs. That's one of the key aspects as people feel like with the cloud, I want to be able to take this as a service that I can rely on. Microsoft or some vendor should focus on that, and I need to just go up and focus on the business problem. Second, more important, just as I said, people want rapid development. With the cloud, people want, we have a schedule of roughly releasing every 3 weeks. Right, and most customers also want to be able to release, at a very fast cadence, and that means your development environment has got to give a way of rapid development, and you, in many cases, you want to be able to just get rid of code to be able to just get these things running in a configuration-only fashion. And we'll have a customer today to talk about their needs for elastic growth and shrinking based on customer demand. And that's a lot easier to do only if you're running in a service in the cloud. Because if you're going to be on-premise or then you'll have to buy the machines, at least carry the capacity, right? And while we talked about a lot of config-driven, no-code scenarios, there are a significant set of customers or solutions which need customization. What this means is there are a large number of solutions that I want to build. I want to be able to hook it up and wire up, and it just works. And then take from there, be able to customize specific aspects of it. It could be a line of business system in terms of how many connections you can connect to or how many, what specific web service endpoints from there that you want to talk to. It could be the message format that you're getting is such that you probably need to write some code to transform it. You could do batching. You could do debatching. The large number of patterns that you would see that you probably need to code for, right? And if you do not have the hook, if the platform doesn't provide the hook for you to provide customization, a large number of these solutions would just not work, right? So while customers want rapid development and a config-driven experience for simple solutions, it is pretty much an adoption blocker if you do not have customization. Customers also ask want us to make sure that I want to be isolated. Like I want security isolation to make sure that that's guaranteed. I have my ports locked and I'm the only one who's accessing it, or my partners that I have given permission for, they're the only ones accessing it. But more importantly, with the cloud, there's a chance that some other customer having a high workload could affect your performance. And customers in this enterprise integration scenarios are very clear that I want it isolated so that I get my resources guaranteed and reserved for me, right? Which we call a dedicated installation. So people want secure as well as isolated installations. And they want, since they are not managing the service, they want the person who's the vendor who's managing the service to give guarantees, service level agreement saying, I will run at 3 nines, and I'll have availability for 3 nines, and this will guarantee that no messages are lost, and guarantee that messages that are failing to route will be tracked appropriately so the customers can fix and resubmit. So there's a lot of these agreements, SLAs, that the vendor has to provide. So there's a lot of, there's still a strong need in spite of BizTalk server, workflow, service bus, and server on VM. There's a strong need for a case for something like the BizTalk, Windows Azure BizTalk service, which is why we built this. This is in response to a strong customer need. And what does it do? What does Windows Azure BizTalk services do? I mean, how many of you went to the talk yesterday? Okay, it's just a few hands, so I'll talk roughly about what it is. So at a high level, this is our first step. It's a version one of getting a PaaS or a platform as a service in the cloud, right? It's a native service built in the cloud for doing two key scenarios, EAI, which is enterprise application integration, and B2B, which is a higher level service that helps customers bridge two partners together. It's a managed service, which means Microsoft manages the service on our subscription. It's config-driven. A large number of the application pieces can be put together with just configuration. So it's also customizable, which means you could take a pipeline and you have customizable components in the specific pattern that we have. And it's a dedicated deployment. So when a customer comes and says, I want to have a sign up for a Windows Azure BizTalk service, you could choose one of the SKUs that you can sign up for, and it would actually tell you, it will actually spin up specific VMs and resources for you to be able, that's dedicated to that customer deployment, right? Somebody's so excited they want to get in. So what does the service do, right? It primarily takes a message in from an external entity and sends a message out, or one or more messages out, right? Fairly simple. But the richness of it is what it does with the message. We have a notion of something called a bridge, right? And a bridge is nothing but a source, a pipeline of activities, and a destination, right? And a source today could be an FTP or an FTPS source, which is a site where we can pick up pull messages from, or an HTTP endpoint where somebody can push messages to. And the message and the destinations could be a variety of destinations. I think it could be FTP, FTPS, it could be a service bus, because you could actually send the message after processing to a queue or a topic. And there are a few others in terms of the number of destination providers that we support today in V1. In both these cases, we will quickly expand the number of source and destinations as after we release in V1, right? The pipeline, which is in the middle of the source and destination, is something fairly similar to the BizTalk pipeline, except it's a lot easier to build and configure. And the specific pattern that we support there is a validate, which is message comes in, is it of the right format that I was expecting? Extract, which is to get a set of properties promoted, because those are the ones that are interesting, because I don't want to keep cracking the message open. Transform, so I want to take a message that comes in a particular format and transform it to some other format, right? Why is that important? Because that is the core of any message brokering system. It's sort of the kernel, right? To be able to canonicalize, take a message format of which is custom to a format that I understand, right? So transform, and the transform, we provide the same kind of a mapper tool, which is enhanced mapper tool from BizTalk server, which has a lot more constructs to build maps with looping constructs more easily, and stitch those together, right? To provide a new format, new canonicalized format. So validate, extract, transform, enrich again, so which is promote the set of properties from the time you transformed, and then route, right? And routing is based on filters to say, based on either the message properties that have been promoted as part of what the source, the source property in the header of the message, or something else in the message itself. You could actually, after the transform, you could have a bunch of properties that you say, based on the content that is in the message, I want to route it. And you could route it to different endpoints, right? So it's as simple as that. A bridge that consists of a source, a pipeline of activities, and a destination. And you can build this with just purely configuration. And you take these bridges, and you can just deploy in the cloud and run. And this simple, scalable entity called a bridge that we host and run makes a lot of scenarios light up in terms of taking either running an integration service in the cloud or connecting to on-premise, right? So that's what we shipped yesterday, right? And I now would like to invite John and Mike. John Shaw is the CEO and founder of Nimbo. Nimbo is a close partner of Microsoft, and they're building a solution on Windows Azure BizTalk services. They're also a close partner on BizTalk server. And Mike Barker is the VP of IT in Mimio. And John's building a solution for Mimio to use, and their experience with BizTalk, Windows Azure BizTalk services. Please come on stage. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can everybody hear me?
Great. So, I'm one of the founders of Nimbo. Nimbo is a born in the cloud consultancy company, primarily based in New York. We really have been around since about 2010 and really followed Azure since the start. So from the platform all the way to infrastructure. We work with mainly the enterprise space. So we work with those selected customers there. And we do very large cloud migrations for their applications and their infrastructure. The team is a very niche team. We don't do any kind of remote development. It's all on-site. We've got a number of MVPs who work for us. And we've got also a number of VTSPs from Azure. We're actually a member of the Azure Circle program, which is a very small knit of Azure partners that are dedicated to the ongoing development of Azure, and we do a lot of promotions and training for customers in that space. So I'll bring you over to Mike.
I'm Mike, the VP of IT at Mimio.com. We've been in existence since about 1998, and we're a business-to-business company. And for 10 years, that worked out great. Had a bunch of on-prem data centers, and we would take in about 500 to 1,000 orders a day, and that would keep our 200,000 square foot of production facility pretty well occupied. A bunch of printers, as you can imagine, we bring in materials through our e-commerce site, and we would print it up for large Fortune 500 companies. About 10 years into it, we had this idea. We said, you know what? Companies stop working around Thanksgiving. And as a result, that 200,000 square foot of production capacity we had was really underutilized, like down to from full utilization to about 25%. So, well, what we ought to do is go out and get some business to fill that space. And where that is for printing is consumer space. So rather than create a new front end, we went out and became a wholesale partner for some major photo vendors, something you have probably heard of. So which was great. What we found out is it was an all-you-can-eat buffet. We were able to, starting right after Thanksgiving, completely fill our production facility. We ended up filling more than one production facility. We ended up getting more production facilities to fill it again. So that 1,000 orders of our B2B business turned into 10 to 15,000 orders. And what we also found out is when they were coming with, the CEO loved it. There was tons of revenue. But what we found out is that when they're coming with that kind of revenue, we don't get a choice on how we integrate. So there was we integrated with our systems the way we wanted to, but when our wholesale partners came in, we integrated with their systems the way they wanted to. So we had two major problems to solve. First, we needed elasticity, and we needed extensibility. And that's when we brought in Nimbo and said, hey, help us solve this problem. So what we have now is we have an order from an e-commerce site. This was the wholesale business, right? An order comes in from an e-commerce site, normally a photo card or a calendar or some type of a photo book that you might want to send during the holidays. They send that order in to us. We convert that order into a standard XML that we send to any one of our production facilities. So as you can imagine, we have quite a few trading partners on this. They send us orders in all kinds of formats with all kinds of different rule sets. We take that and normalize it through our BizTalk layer to an order XML that we understand and can fulfill against. From there, we go, and this is really what really needs to be scalable too. Because unlike many manufacturing facilities, we don't go get a gear and then look at instructions and put it together. We're actually creating the raw materials for printing. So our IT creates the raw materials. So they send us in these photos, and we have to normalize the photos now and make them ready for production. And again, there's many partners. They're giving us their photos in many different formats. Through an elastic infrastructure, we're normalizing them to the format that Mimeo loves and the order XML that Mimeo loves. And then we send it down to the appropriate fulfillment center for eventual printing. And then we mail them. And also, the reverse of that, which isn't shown here, I believe, is we send print confirmations and ship confirmations. And, of course, we finally get paid and send invoices back up the stack to the various partners. And, again, our format going all the way up the stack until we get to BizTalk. And then once we get to BizTalk, we break out to any format that our partner has decided they want us to send, and we send that to them. Great. I think I've covered this one. I'm going to give it to you.
So printing as a service really is a classic predictable bursting model. The reason why is holiday seasons, which is Thanksgiving, like Mike said, and the holiday season itself, for whatever religion or whatever you're from, is holiday pictures. I mean, most of the traffic that comes through the BizTalk layer is holiday pictures, people with kids and all the rest of it. So it's a classic scenario that they want to scale during that time. They want to get four or more instances going at the same to handle the load, which it could go up to. I've seen it go as far as 10,000 orders in an hour coming through, and these are fairly large orders that have to be processed and fulfilled. So the actual solution that we came up, let me just put this back on there. Okay. So the solution that we came up with, the main challenge. I mean, I've personally done a lot of integrations myself over the years, a lot in healthcare and. I mean, the BizTalk services at the moment, it does support XML, FTP, and all the other things. But the key scenario that we were going after was the EDI portion. Now, EDI is a standard being around for 30 years. And if anybody's ever seen EDI data, it literally is like looking at the matrix. You know, it's very kind of cumbersome and all the rest of it. So I thought, well, is there anything that we can do instead of just receiving the EDI message and actually... what can we actually get? Is there any business value from that EDI data? Well, there actually is. There's a lot of business value. So that's an EDI message. That's an 850 if everybody's wants to look at it. It's probably not accurate if you look at some of the segments. If it's an EDI expert, they'd probably kill me, but anyway. But actually, if you look at the EDI data, there's an order number. That's that segment there. So we can see it's the order number there. That's the address. It came from Brooklyn. That's the name. And that's the SKU. That's what they actually ordered. So if you can imagine, this is just an order system. But if you can imagine this being healthcare, which we've also done a lot of integrations in healthcare, it's a similar kind of message and it's similar kind of data. In healthcare, it's diagnostics codes. So you could take that data potentially and use a BizTalk system and have a BI capability right at the front end when those kind of orders or medical claims come through, and we've done things like that in the past as well. And really, the tracking of the data in this BizTalk service is really the key and the value add, I feel, because it tracks the raw messages in blob storage that you can extract. You can tag different properties to track to the message flow, so like the order number and other things. And it tracks before the processing. If you've got any maps, it will track them after that as well, so you can see before and after state. And it's extensible using the bridges, so I'll show in a second in the demo. So if there's anything that you need to siphon off in a bridge or do some of the processing with that message, you can create one of these bridges and actually extract the data and send it to another line of business or another scenario that you're looking to do. So the data that we presented, Mike and his team, is we've got a Windows 8 app. And that EDI data that you just showed you in a couple of slides, a lot of people can't read that. So we created a rich interface. So in there, we're tracking the milestones. If anybody knows about BAM and other things, it's kind of the equivalent of that, that we're tracking the order it's received, invoiced, and shipped. And that gives us metrics of how long it's taking for an order to process through. We combine it with back-end systems. So this is just showing, you know, these are the cards that they're ordering. This could be other SKUs potentially from a catalog system. And we're actually then combining it against, with other Microsoft capabilities, is the geospatial data with Bing Maps. So where does the actual order come from? And this data, most of it, or near enough all of it, came from that EDI data, believe it or not. There was hardly any line of business interaction. So, like I said, with this system, you can create a very neat EDI processing layer and actually create the business logic or the solution there and not invest in your on-premise systems to do that capability. So I'll leave that slide up, and then I'll pop over to the demo. Okay, wow. Worked first time. I believe it. All right. So so if anybody's ever not seen the BizTalk Services portal, I believe there's a session on this, so I won't go into too much detail. These are some of the partners that we've got on there. So, obviously, we've changed some of the names to protect the innocent and other things. So this is the profile of that partner. We can put the DUNS number of the partner, the identifier. We can add their certificates for AS2 coming in. And then we can actually create this as a template that we can reuse. So imagine if you're, and I would love for it to go this way, imagine if you're trading with a company like Walmart. They have a certain way that they interact with partners. And I think it's a great opportunity for actual partners to create these trading partner agreements that can be reused over community-wise. And I think this is a great platform to do that. So these are some of the partners that we've got set up. This is the agreement tab. So these guys are sending us 850s, which are orders, and 820s are the payment messages. This is where we do the tracking portion. Some of the receive settings. So we've got the transport, which is the endpoint that we give to the client, the partner itself. The protocol is obviously EDI here, so we can put in the security details there, the schemas that we're using, and then this is where we put the transform. We came from a BizTalk, because this weren't quite ready when we started. We actually came from a BizTalk 2010 environment, and we actually worked with the team and advised them and other things about we need to have the ability to take those maps that were in BizTalk or other integration platforms and actually put them into this new world. So we're actually leveraging the investments that we've made. So if there is a BizTalk client out there who wants to use this, well, where's the migration strategy? And it's actually now in the tool. So it makes it easier for you to adopt. And at the end of it, we've got a track in there, which we send that actually to a service bus bridge that Mike has set up in Azure for their partner services. And the extensibility points here, like I said, we added another extensibility points to siphon off other data to do a bit more richer BI experience. And then the tracking portion, which I'll just show briefly, this is some of the tracking data that came through. Obviously, if anybody's seen BizTalk, it's a very similar user experience. But we have trading partners asking us, okay, well, did that order actually get in? Did it get received? Now one of the operators can just go in here and type in the order ID or the envelope details, and they can drill down and get that in there. It actually tracks the message body itself, so you can download the message body. I'll show you that. So that's the message body that was tracked. So that's pretty neat. And then the extensibility piece that we added on top for for Mike and his team, it's just a Windows 8 app. So these are the breached orders. So this is the SLA that has been gone over. Some of these orders are 48 hours to 112 hours. So they need to print these within a certain time period. So in here, again, we can drill down to the order. These are the stages of the order, acknowledged, like I said before, where it came from. They can see the actual line items and how much those are and the pages, etc. They can actually then go into more of a business intelligence dashboard where they can see the live orders coming through. So if it's Thanksgiving and these orders go down to zero, there's obviously some issue somewhere. And then these are the newest orders. So they can just track that. So again, using a Windows 8 kind of enterprise rollout, they could have this on the shop floor where they can see orders all the way to the operations and drill down there. So that concludes the this part of the demo.
That's great. Thanks, John. Yeah, so we got what we wanted. We needed a highly flexible, extensible infrastructure. And as a result, we onboard partners in days. We're way ahead of the business onboarding partners, which is great for the technology team. It takes them longer to pass print tests than it takes me to get a partner onboarded through our portal. We expanded to more regions as a result. So now we started out in the U.S. and now we're in Europe because we could take the model, we could easily just plug it in. Agility-wise, it's great on two fronts. One is our BizTalk system handles all the partners and all their various needs, but also I can focus my development team on all that normalized integration all the way down. Everything else is consistent afterwards, which is awesome. That's a moneymaker. Elasticity part, little did I know getting into it in 2008 what type of elasticity that I need. I mean, as John said, there are times when we're bringing in 10,000 orders. Now, when you're converting the EDI to the XML, you can do that in an hour, maybe, and get ahead of the presses. But those assets have to be normalized also, and that's work. There's a lot of work in that. If anybody's copied a photo book from a thumb drive to your PC, you know moving that kind of data is difficult. So it's, the expandability of the worker roles has been awesome. And, of course, the multi-region coverage. I told you we went to Europe. What we really did is we pretended like that was our DRT too. So we set up all of our trading partners to use both regions and designated one of them as a primary node. So if for whatever reason our AMR nodes are unavailable, I can actually just roll them over to the European region and actually run the entire U.S. out of that region through the service bus. And the bottom line is I'm not paying for tons of infrastructure. I've got an on-prem infrastructure built for about 1,000 orders, not for 20,000. I only need that 20,000 a day, 30 days out of the year. So I let this thing all but idle for 11 months, and that last month I really spent it up. I think that's it.
Thanks a lot, John and Mike. Thank you very much. Yeah, as we said, I think you can see a compelling scenario for a customer who wants to be agile, wants to be in the cloud, and it's all built using Windows Azure BizTalk services. It's all in the cloud. And you can actually use this kind of a solution and stitch it together with an existing on-premise solution as well. So, that's the sort of power of the what a PaaS service brings to you, right? Now, we've discussed four or five different kinds of technologies here, and I did say that we are committed to supporting all of them and taking them forward because they address different areas of the market in terms of customer needs, right? And so what's the high-level guidance in terms of scenario saying what should I use when, right? And there are gray areas, and I'd also like to say that it's, to give an example, you could write anything and everything in C# or assembly. Right? The question of which tool you use depends on how much time do you want to spend in writing the code, and is this the right place to do this? In many cases, we believe that you probably shouldn't be writing any code at all, right? So the tool you choose is based on what your needs are and how much you're willing to invest in terms of taking this forward. High level, I think point-to-point connectivity and messaging-based pub-sub connectivity, you should use Service Bus, right? So what this means is I have two applications that they're simple. One generates a set of messages, which is either durable or transient, that's consumed by another system. And it could be in different locations, like cloud and on-premise, but there's no other transformation or canonicalization that's going on. You just say, use Service Bus. If you have a workflow, something like SharePoint, where you have a workflow that's embedded in your application that you want to use for hosting, right? It's a simple workflow. Then you use what we call an app-hosted orchestration, use workflow, right? For anything that is richer than that, in terms of, if you want to have more of an elaborate scenario with transformations and a pipeline that has different sources and destinations that needs routing, use BizTalk Server on-premise for developing and testing scenarios where you can actually want to quickly provision something and run some to test it. For BizTalk Server, use BizTalk Server Azure on Azure VM. And for cloud-based new applications, cloud-based integrations like the one John and Mike talked about, use Windows Azure BizTalk Services. There will be some overlaps in these scenarios, and you should work through the needs in terms of where you are evolving. But we are committed to supporting all of these. That's one thing that I want to reiterate, right? And the next question is, okay, you have all these scenarios. Are they islands? Are they working together? And you really already saw in many in the scenarios that we talked about, both the Azure PaaS service that Nimbo and Mimio built, as well as in the earlier demo of connecting to a Salesforce SaaS service, we use Service Bus and BizTalk stitched together. Right? So in many of these cases, we have a lot of scenarios which actually you might have to use multiple of these things, these technologies, and stitch them together. And it's better together when you do it that way. Second, fundamentally at the architecture level, we are weaving these technologies together. Right? Workflow uses Service Bus underneath. BizTalk BizTalk Services uses an extend Service Bus. Right, for scenarios like batching, we actually use Service Bus. And use a Service Bus for SaaS connectivity. We are actually evolving the sets of products to actually weave them a lot more closely together. And you will see that evolution going forward. In terms of futures, there's one set of hard commitments that we are making, which is we're going to have a regular cadence. We're going to have a two-year cycle for server releases. We're committed to evolving that every 2 years. And we'll have regular updates. On the services side, the cadence will be a lot faster. Quarterly updates on the service with new enhanced features, right? And where we are going to take the entire space forward in terms of the areas that we are thinking about. This is one we are more open for feedback on. First and foremost, we are in preview, so we'll have to take it to GA. There's a set of blockers or issues that customers will report that we will fix. But after that, we're going to focus a lot on SaaS integration, right? Making SaaS integration very easy. Making on-premise LOB connectivity from cloud very simple and easy. And then building a notion of an enterprise service bus that spans on-premise as well as the cloud. And enable long-running business processes like workflow to run on Azure as well as on-prem. Right? We have the on-prem solution, but taking it to the cloud. And on top of it, John showed you how you can build business analytics on tracking, but you can actually, if you have a longer-running business process, you can have great analytics and insight that you can gather from the analytics built on the business processes that you run. So that's a high-level gist of where we are headed. And I'll leave you with the last slide in terms of key takeaways. We are building a powerful integration stack. We do not believe that one size fits all. So you will have several options in terms of technologies that work together, all the way from these frameworks to BizTalk services in the cloud. And we are enabling new scenarios in the cloud. We are deeply committed and innovating in integration, and there's a large space for partners and large customers to build solutions on top. Thank you very much. I'll leave you with the next set of talks that you can go to, and there's lots of deep discussions on some of the areas that we covered today. Now we run out of time for questions, but I'll be actually outside, and then we can meet at the booth as well. Thank you very much for being here. Thank you.